The following audio is from Potomac Heights Baptist Church, located in Indian Head, Maryland. More information about Potomac Heights Baptist Church is available at www.phbc.com. Potomac Heights Baptist Church exists to glorify God and to make Christ known to the ends of the world by helping one another become more like Jesus. It is our hope that you will prayerfully listen to this sermon audio.
Well, good morning, y'all. If you would, please turn your copy of God's Word to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 3, will be in verses 21 through 26. So we ended our series on our statement of faith. We kind of brought that to a close last week. And we're starting a new series. And this morning, specifically, we're thinking about a gift, but we're thinking about God's declaration that his people are righteous. Another word for that is justification. So it's a gift. It's the gift of justification. Now, you hear important words all the time. All throughout your week, you constantly hear words that are important. You hear important words from the news, right? From your employer, from your work, from your friends. In your home, among your family, right? You hear important words. Kids, y'all are in here today. When your parents speak to you, are those words important? Yes, they are important. And I just wonder, how all of us would answer this question. What are the most important words that you've ever heard? Don't answer out loud, but think to yourself. What are the most important words you have ever heard? Could it be, I love you? Will you marry me? Perhaps the most important words you've heard were tragic. And so, the kind of event that no matter how old you get, you will always remember the event. You'll always remember everything about the day because of what you heard. Because somebody told you something that you'll never forget. I mean, many of us have heard shocking words. I mean, we've heard words about a loved one dying or a doctor who says things aren't good. For me, just growing up, my granddad was a farmer, and I thought he was invincible. But I was in the hospital room when the doctor came and said, Mr. Tillman, you only have a few weeks left. But whatever, if it's good or sad, right, we've all heard important words, not only the past week, but throughout our whole life. We've heard words that changed our lives, and we've heard words that stick with us. Well, the words we're about to read might not stick with you for very long. They may not even, they may be out of your thinking by lunchtime. But I do wonder where these words would rank on your list of most important words you've ever heard. Because we're about to read the words of your King and your Creator. He tells us clearly that he is just and that he's the justifier. So not only does God tell us about himself, but in Romans 3, what we're about to read, he tells us how he has saved his people. So we read really good news this morning. We read that God has saved us by grace through faith in Christ. One brother described this. He said that justification is the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. Another brother said that what we're about to read is the most important paragraph in human history. Even if you don't, don't agree with those brothers' assessment, hopefully that God, through his word this morning, will deepen your understanding of himself. I hope that God, through his word this morning, will deepen your understanding of the salvation he has offered. And friends, if you're here and you're not a Christian, and I'm talking about the most important words you've ever heard, my hope for you is that by God's grace, that he would give you faith in Christ this morning, that you would leave here with the salvation that we have prayed about, we've sung about, that Pastor Brian was teaching the kids about, that if you're not a Christian, it would not be so by the time you leave. So please repent. Please believe in this Jesus, because you will not think these words are important if you do not know Christ. But many of us, however, we've been Christians, right? We've read Romans 3. We know the Romans road. So many of us, we're very familiar with Romans chapter 3. So my goal for us is simply to stir us up by way of reminder, as God says in his word. So, one main idea for Romans chapter 3 is that God is just and the justifier. God is just and the justifier. Another way to say that is that God is righteous and the one who makes others righteous. So, with that in mind, let's listen now as God speaks to us through his word in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of God, and may it make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the gift of justification. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Christ to die for us. Father, would you give us understanding of your word now? Father, would you help us to love you more, to know you more, and to love your word more? Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So one main idea, God is just and the justifier. So the first thing we see in this passage is that God is just. And so we're thinking about how God has told us about himself. I know that's simple, but so when my wife tells me about herself, I love my wife, right? I want to listen to what she has to say about herself. And so in the same way, in Romans 3, God tells us about himself. And so those of us who love God, we want to listen to God. We want to learn about God. Well, he tells us about himself in Romans 3. And he tells us that he is just. And this is important, but so not only does he tell us that he's just, he tells us how he is just. So if you had to answer that question, because I'm sure you have family members or at least people at your work who would say God is not fair. God is not right. He is not just because he does things that are not right. That's what they would claim. I wonder how we would respond to that. Well, hopefully based on Romans 3, you could say, no, God is just. God is right. God is fair. How do we know? Well, he tells us in his word. So God tells us he's just in his word, and he tells us he's just through salvation. So look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. So kind of the main idea here is that the Bible shows God is just. So you see he says, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. That's his way of just summarizing the Old Testament. Right? The Apostle Paul in Romans 3 wasn't going to list out all 39 books. He just says, hey, the law and the prophets, they bear witness to the fact that God is just. And so I said earlier, kind of the main idea could also be said that God is righteous. And so in English, we read the word right there, the righteousness of God. Do you see that? Verse 21, the righteousness of God has been manifested. And so we tend to connect righteousness with behavior or with actions. That person is morally righteous. They behave well. Their actions are good. But this passage is a good place to remind us that the New Testament was written in Greek. It wasn't originally written in English. So it's been translated to us. Because if we were reading this in Greek, we would see, you see righteousness used four times. You see the word just used three times. But all these words would have been very similar in the original. Because if you look at that, you would think, just on the page, righteousness and just look like different words. But in Paul's mind, God's righteousness and his justice go together. And so when it says the righteousness of God has been manifested, Paul's saying the justice of God has been seen clearly. So we know, we can see God's justice because he has displayed his justice. And where does he display his justice? Well, in his word. It says the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Just one place, right, is in Deuteronomy 32. So we sing a song this morning. In one of the songs in the Old Testament that Moses wrote, Moses says this, that God, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. And so multiple places in the Old Testament point us to the fact that our God is just. And so that means, so what God says in his word, he's just. So that means he must be just. So, and that's important for us, because no matter what my experience is, right, no matter what you suffer, no matter what people tell you from outside of that, you can go with them with boldness and simply say, hey, God is just, and everything God does is just. God is righteous. Everything God does is righteous. And so this morning, I hope that just in this one simple verse, that your confidence in the Word of God grows. I hope that as you think about verse 21 in Romans chapter 3, that you see that God testifies that he is a just God. But there's another way that God shows us he is a just God and he is a right God, and it's through our salvation. So faith in Jesus Christ shows God is just. So two ways. The Bible shows God is just, but also faith in Jesus Christ shows that God is just. Look at verse 22. The righteousness of God, notice this, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So he started in verse 21 by saying, now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So he says, now it's been manifested. The Bible does display God's righteousness, but now something else also displays God's righteousness. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So another way of saying that is that if we are saved, so if you've experienced salvation, then that displays God's justice. So Christian, your salvation shows clearly that your God is a just God. We may ask, how can that be? Right? How does my salvation display God's justice? Right? How does your personal testimony display the righteousness of God? You know, as a younger Christian, all I ever wanted to think about was grace. All I ever wanted to think about, I mean, it's literally it was just mercy, grace, and love. That's all I wanted to think about. You know, and I would much rather think about grace than, you know, my own sin or the penalty that my sin deserves. And I know I'm not alone in this. One time, I haven't preached very much, but in one of the sermons I was preaching, a sister in the very back interrupted the middle of the sermon and just said, you're talking about salvation by grace. You haven't said that, but it's what you're talking about. Of course, it kind of threw me off because you don't normally happen. And I just read Psalm 53, which says, no one is good. So the best of my ability or way to understand it, what she meant was, I want to hear you preach salvation by grace. So stop talking about the sin and start talking about salvation by grace. My heart completely went out to her. Because yet we love thinking about grace, and we do not like to think about sin or justice. So I think many of us would agree with her. Like, yes, let us hear salvation by grace. But what we must understand is that if we lose justification, what we're talking about here in Romans 3, so if we lose that, then grace has no meaning, right? Mercy has no meaning. Love has no meaning. I mean, by definition, grace that we love to hear, mercy that we love to hear, they assume we are guilty, right? Grace and mercy assume we are guilty and deserving of punishment. So then, why is justification so important? Or maybe we could ask, what is justification? Because we could probably define grace, we probably could define love, but what is justification? Well, here's a simple definition. It should be on the screen. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and declares us as righteous in his sight. One more time. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and declares us as righteous in his sight. And I got that from an old kind of Baptist document, because I don't say wherein often, so I didn't come up with that word. But I think their summary is very helpful. So what is justification? It's an act of God. God has done this act of justification by his free grace. The second part is he pardons all our sins and he declares us as righteous in his sight. And so the main idea for Romans 3 is that God is just and the justifier. Again, God is righteous and the one who makes other people righteous. We call that process justification. And see, notice that last part, declares us as righteous in his sight. So you see that God does something only he can do. He declares sinners righteous. You and I can't do that. Or you can't just declare people righteous. I think of a popular TV show where the boss walks in and just says, I declare bankruptcy. But I mean, that didn't change anything, right? I mean, I declare you people to be no longer sinners. You know, if somebody does that and you believe them, then that really shows you don't understand your sin very well. Because human declarations do not have universal authority. But when God speaks, when God makes a declaration, then all of creation is to obey, and all of creation is under his authority. Maybe this will help. So kids, what would happen if, I know I drive a Prius, but it can go fast. If I were driving 100 miles per hour, what would happen if an officer saw me? I get pulled over. I think I heard somebody say, I hope I heard somebody say that. But what if I tell the officer, it's all right, before I left my house, I declared I can drive as fast as I want. Do you think the officer would buy that? No, probably not. He's not going to let me go, right? He's going to say, well, cool story, but you can't do that, right? But what I'm getting at is human declarations do not have universal authority. We can't declare things and make them so. But when God speaks, when his authority goes forth, all of creation is underneath that authority. And so for us, when he declares sinners righteous, then we know it's so, because it is from someone who is an ultimate authority. And so just to summarize these first two verses, right, we learn that God manifests, God shows that he is just through his word and through his salvation. Now we're going to kind of look at, all right, so then how does God make others righteous? So by his word, maybe we say he declares people righteous, but how can we describe that to other people? How does God take filthy, sin-stained people and wash them clean? And how is God able to say righteous? Well, look down at verse 23 through 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So the second thing we see is not only is God just, but he is the one who justifies. God is the justifier. And so you notice in verse 23, right, all have sinned. So the playing field is equal, so to speak. Right? We all have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And so that leaves us with a problem. We need to be justified. If we are not righteous, then we need to be made righteous. So how is that possible? Well, we have the problem. Thankfully, God gives us the solution. And so now we're going to see how God justifies us. And this is the good news. Right? How does God justify us? Three ways. God justifies us by his grace. God justifies us through Christ. And God justifies us through faith. And that's what we'll get into in these next verses. And I want to say, so there's nothing in us that causes God to justify us. I think we believe that and we know that. The definition, justification, is an act of God's free grace. So justification happens by the grace of God. Look at verse 24. So for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. This is the first thing we must realize, is that this is an act of God, not something we will within ourselves. This is something God does. But the second thing is that God justifies us through Christ. Look at verse 24. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. So you see the first part there, through redemption that is in Christ. So redemption means delivered by payment of a ransom. So God has, our Redeemer is the one who delivers us through a payment. That makes sense. So through the redemption that is in Christ, that's how we're justified. God paid for our redemption, and then we receive redemption. That makes sense. So then how, what is the price, we might ask? If redemption demands a payment, and God is the one who's paid that redemption, then what does God pay? What does God offer himself as a payment for our sin? Friends, it's not gold. It's not cash. It's not land. No, God offers all of us something far more precious than anything temporary. Look again at verse 25. Whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. You see, what God offers, what God pays for our redemption is his self. It's his son, his only son. That's what he offers. He puts forward Christ in our place and for our sin. And that's why we call it a gift, right? That's why week in and week out, really we marvel at the same message every week. It's the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. That sinners can be made righteous. That is what we boast in. You see, God, based on verse 25, puts Christ forward as a substitute for sinners. If you're a sinner, this is really good news for you. I mean, do you realize how gracious God is to do this? That he is just. Praise God. You can tell people that. You can tell people, I mean, you could get a megaphone and just down the street and say, God is just, God is just, God is just, and that's true. But it's not good news for them. That's actually terrifying news because they're realizing, well, if God is just, I'm not just, then there's no hope for me. So we must include the second part of Romans chapter 3, 21 through 26, that God is the one who justifies. So we proclaim God is just, and we say, and the good news is, he makes sinners righteous. He also justifies people. So listen, I think this is an old hymn. I think this kind of helps illustrate this. We're thinking how God justifies through Christ. And I'm not going to sing, trust me, but I'll try and read it. The hymn is called Christ, What Burdens Bowed Thy Head. Christ, What Burdens Bowed Thy Head. If you get like the weekly, the daily like sermon thing, this was one of the songs. But here, I'm only going to read three verses. Our load was laid on thee. Thou stood in the sinner's stead. Didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed. Now there's no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. But thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love, drink it up. Now blessings drop for me. Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. Thy tears, thy blood, beneath it flowed. Thy bruising healeth me. I think just in very poetic terms, that captures what Romans 3 is saying. That God justifies through Christ. That Christ is the redemption. That God put forward Christ as a propitiation. So propitiation means a satisfaction for wrath. Again, look closely at the end of 25. As a propitiation by his blood. So it's a reference to Christ bleeding. So Christ's death. There are some people who almost take this verse out of their Bible. There was a teacher who actually would change hymns like I just wrote, or just read. I didn't write that. But any time like the blood of Christ was mentioned, he would cross that out and just put love. So he elevated love way beyond God's justice. And friends, we cannot do that. You see clearly what it says in God's word. God put him forward as a propitiation by his blood. And so the death of Christ is extremely important. And so you see, the place that we go to forgiveness, this is where we go. We go to Christ. And so if you're here and you need righteousness, and you do, we all do, then you're able to get righteousness. You are able to get justice. It's by God's grace through Christ and by placing your faith in Christ. And so this brings us to our last point, that God justifies through faith. So we've seen that God justifies through Christ. Now we'll see that God justifies through faith. Look at the end of verse 25. To be received by faith. And I'll read to the end. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so you see that God justifies, it's through faith. It's through faith in Christ by his grace. The three go together. And so then what is faith? If that's how God justifies, that's the instrument that he uses, then what is faith? Well, it's trusting in Christ and believing his word and his work. It's so simple. Trusting in Christ and believing in his word and work. And so it's believing what we just read, that God offered Christ, put Christ forward as a substitute in your place. And so there's a humility that comes with this, because we didn't focus on verse 23, but we read it, for all have sinned. And so the humility comes, and we must admit, yes, we are actually the sinners who need to be made righteous, right? We need God to give us this. We need the just God to justify us, because we are unable to do it. And so a simple question then, in light of what we just read, this is to be received by faith, is have you responded with faith? Has there ever been a time in your life whenever you said, yes, I want to receive this gift of justification, this work of Christ. I want to receive what Christ has done by faith. Because we read clearly, hopefully you see it, we read it multiple times, that this is how God offers justification. So is this true of you? Or maybe you could ask, is this true of me? Have I by faith received this? Have I by faith received this beautiful gift? Have I received God's declaration that I am righteous? And you notice this whole sermon, this whole text, who the emphasis is on. It's all on God. It has nothing to do with us. Right, so it would be inappropriate and false of me to say, you just need to do better. You need to try and justify yourself before God. Let me just tell you, that will not go well. No. What the Apostle Paul is getting at, and what I've been trying to say throughout this, is that justification is God's actions. It's God's act towards his people. And so God has offered salvation through only one way. I believe that is clear. It's through Christ. It's through faith in Christ. We cannot add to that. Please don't try to. It's through trusting and believing in this Jesus, that Jesus was offered up in our place and for our sins, that he died for sinners. You know what happened after that? He got up. He rose from the grave. And then Christ offers to give his righteousness to all who come to him. And so one final question is then, on what basis does God justify his people? So we've seen that God has unique authority to declare people righteous. We've seen how God did it. He does it through Christ, through faith in Christ by his grace. But then how can we be made righteous? Right? How can we talk about that? It should be up on the screen. The righteousness of Christ is applied to us and received by faith alone. And again, this is really good news for unrighteous people. That if you try and justify yourself before God, what you're going to do is you're basically just going to lay before God all of your sin and all of your unrighteousness. But the hope and the good news of the gospel is that we get Christ's righteousness, and he takes our unrighteousness on himself. That's how God is just. That the wrath I deserve and you deserve for our sin is placed on another. That's the propitiation we talked about. And that Christ's perfect righteousness is then given to us. So how question on the screen is, how are unrighteous people made righteous? It's not by becoming better, right? It's not by doing perfect works. No, it's the fact that the righteousness of Christ is applied to us, and then we receive it by faith alone. So the righteousness of another is given to us. And so, again, there's humility here, because we're not the focus of the story. Right? No matter what our testimony is, this is Romans 3 is all of our testimony, that the righteousness of another is given to us, and we as sinners accept that righteousness by faith. But also there's some boldness that I want to leave you with that I think we all can go with. So just like we admit that we are unrighteous, now we have the boldness to say, yes, I was unrighteous, but now I have been justified by Christ. God's word tells me that I have been justified. And so now I no longer have to live sort of without assurance, right? I don't have to live my Christian life with no confidence. If your confidence is in yourself, then yes, you will live like that. But brothers and sisters, our confidence is in the Word of God and the work of Christ. And so we're able to say with all boldness, yes, I'm a sinner, but God has declared me righteous. And so that is what I'm going to rest on. That is what I'm going to proclaim to other people. Not myself, not my works, but who God is and what God has done. So as we conclude, God has spoken. He's told us about himself. He tells us he's just. And so, look, as our world tells us, because you'll hear this if you haven't, God's not right, right? Like that thing, if God was fair, he would act this way. Perhaps your own heart even nags at you sometimes, and you kind of feel like, you know, if God was really just, then he would give me this, or he would do this thing. But based on Romans 3, we should remind ourselves that no. God's word says he is just. No matter what I'm going through, God is just. We can remind ourselves that by God's grace, through faith in Christ, we all can receive this glorious gift of justification. Let's pray together. Father, you are good. Father, you are faithful. You are just and you are righteous. Father, we admit that we are sinners, Lord, and we need your righteousness. Father, we praise you for just your gift of justification. Father, that you gave your only son to take on the wrath we deserved. Father, would you help us? Father, would you help us to adore your message? Father, would you give us confidence and assurance that we are right before you, not because of our own works. We are right before you because you have declared us to be righteous through Christ. Father, would you grow us? And would you protect us? We pray this in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for taking time to listen to this sermon audio from Potomac Heights Baptist Church. Please feel free to make copies of this audio to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter their content in any way without express written permission from Potomac Heights Baptist Church.